Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Delighted to be back here after what was really a wonderful week with all the Catholic radio folks in Alabama last week. Hope to get a chance to tell you a little bit about that. Nobody wanted to talk to me when I got back about the job that Thomas did last week filling in. I think they didn't want to make me feel bad because apparently Thomas just killed it last week. So Thomas Graff, thank you very much for handling the duties last week and making sure everything went well. He's an awful talented person, and I don't feel bad when Thomas has success. I do feel nervous, but I don't feel bad when Thomas has success. Today we got a great show for you. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here. We'll do Ask Me Anything with Tim. And the first hour, John Martinoni is here with us. He's the founder of the Bible Christian Society. You probably know him from all the years on Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and doing all that fine. But he's done a lot of stuff. Maybe you've read his books or seen him talk. But today we're going to talk with John about the do's and don'ts of online evangelization. He's devoted his life to evangelizing. What are the things you should do and what are the things you should avoid when evangelizing online? And you are welcome to get in on this conversation. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. John Martinoni, thank you very much for being here with us.
Cy, good to be here with you as always.
And you were at the radio conference, and one thing I feel there is the people who found and run and work at the Catholic radio stations are just the coolest people. They're just so devoted to communicating the faith. And many of them have given up lucrative jobs, or maybe they've given up sleep because of those founders, they hardly ever sleep to keep Catholic radio on the air.
Yes. And I tell a story one time. I went out to the Texas A&M College Station area when they were putting their first radio station on the air. Dennis had brought me out there to speak at a fundraiser, and it was at this really big house, this very wealthy person, and had all these really wealthy people up there and in the house. And I get up after we have a little meal and chit chat, and I say, first thing out of my mouth, I hate Catholic radio. And he's like, what? Dennis about had a heart attack. Because I actually started a station here in Birmingham and was running it, so I know it from both sides. And I told him, I said, if there's ever a storm that passes through your city and a radio station's knocked off the air, it's your radio station.
Yeah.
Everything that can possibly go wrong behind the scenes will go wrong with your radio station. I said, but everything, all the struggles, turmoil, pain that goes on behind the scenes is worth every minute because of the final product.
Amen. Amen to that, yeah.
That's teaching people about the Catholic faith, drawing them closer to Jesus Christ. And so I saved it. He came back from the throes of almost having a heart attack. And so.
But you could see why anybody who's a founder, and I had forgotten that, John, that you are a founder of the station in Birmingham, how they would hate it. It just... takes over their lives, but they don't. That hate is a. It's just that they're asked to sacrifice, you know, and it's hard to sacrifice. But I will say this: when I come back from that radio conference, the one thing I feel like doing is saying to people, "Please support your local Catholic radio station." I know it sounds self-serving because we're on that station, but I don't mean it in a self-serving way. I mean it in the sense that those folks. Look, they're sacrificing to keep it on. If you could sacrifice a little bit to help them, do it today. Don't even wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Support that, whatever station you're listening on right now. And you can do that, volunteer, tell them, send them a note saying you're praying for them, send them money, whatever. They'll appreciate all of it. And I've never known a group of people that, on two things. One, could use it more because it really costs to do what they're doing. And two, deserve it more because The other thing, John, is Jesus really calls people. Like, people there will say things like, "Oh yeah, Jesus told me, I need you to do. I got a job for you," and they just answer the call. Like, Jesus is calling people to do stuff.
Yeah, and like we were talking before the show, most of these people have no experience in radio whatsoever. I had no experience in radio whatsoever. And they go out, they form a nonprofit, they get a board of directors, they buy a radio station with, you know, by scratching together a thousand here, a few hundred there, until it all adds up and they can get a radio station. And then, like you said, it's a love-hate relationship. It's just, because again, behind the scenes, there's just, oh my gosh, what's going on now? You know, but then people call in, you know, and just when you're thinking like, why did I do this, God? Why did I get involved with this? You'll get a call or an email. Somebody said, just happened to tune into your radio station. I'm not Catholic, but I've been listening for the last week and I love it. And what do I have to do to become a Catholic?
Right, right.
And yep. It's worth and there every it is. Right. Single ounce of sweat, blood, sweat, and tears.
If you want to talk with John Martinoni, we're talking about the do's and don'ts of online evangelization today. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'd love it if you would get in on the conversation. Maybe you have tried defending the faith or explaining the faith or just sharing the faith online. Maybe you've met with success. Maybe you've met with challenges you didn't expect. Maybe you'd just like to get better at it. 888-318-7884. So, John, give us some rules, some do's and don'ts for evangelizing online.
Well, one thing, and a lot of what I'm going to talk about here is either Facebook conversations, because that's where generally you can have the longest and most drawn out conversations, as opposed to X or Twitter, whatever X I guess it's called now, where your conversations are limited by what, 248 characters or something, or just straight up email conversations. And one of the first rules I tell people is, don't make Protestants work for the answers, or atheist, or whoever it is, whatever non-Catholic you're talking to, don't make them work to get the information they're asking for. Like, I remember a Facebook conversation where this Catholic had posted this beautiful picture of Mary, the Assumption of Mary. It was on August 15th. Posted this on Facebook. Protestant responded, said, "I'm not trying to argue with you, but I'm just wondering where this is in Scripture," because she had said a nice little blurb about the Assumption to go along with the picture or the painting that she had posted. And the Catholic responded with, "Watch this video," and gave a link to a video. Well, I clicked on the video. It's 58 minutes long.
Oh, gosh. Yes, right.
No, you're not. I mean, this person is, you know, if somebody is seriously considering the Catholic Church, and maybe the Assumption of Mary is the last thing keeping them back, they might watch all or at least a decent part of that video. But somebody who's just curious and asking a question like this person obviously was, they're going to watch maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And if those first 2 or 3 minutes aren't just chock full of Scripture, they're done with it. So don't make them work for it. So instead of saying, "Watch this video," what this Catholic should have done is gone through the video herself and said, "Hey, click on this video, and at 5 minutes and 48 seconds, mm-hmm. and then at 10 minutes and 12 seconds, and maybe one other place, go straight to these places, and you'll get the Scripture verses you're looking for." Or she could have just written down the Scripture verses as she watched it and then posted them in response to that person's question. So don't make them work for it to get the answer to their questions.
Okay, so rule number one, don't make them work for it. And some of that might involve you doing a little bit of work for them. But all right, well, so that's a don't. Don't make them work for it. What else you got for us? These are the do's and don'ts of online evangelization.
Do establish a precedent that when you're asked a question, give a direct answer. Don't, no beating around the bush, or, "Hey, you know, somebody's asking about," in this instance, we were just talking about the Assumption of Mary, and you start talking about, well, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say everything about the Christian faith needs to be in the Bible. Well, you know, that's a legitimate argument, but she's not really gotten into sola scriptura big time yet. And she asked about the assumption of Mary. And there is a very good passage from Revelation 12 about the woman clothed with the sun, you know, and on her head is a crown of 12 stars, and on her under her feet, the moon, and so forth. So there's this woman in heaven with a crown on her head. You know, and it's like, and she's the mother of the male child who will rule all nations with a rod of iron. Obviously pointing to Mary. I mean, yeah, at one level it could be the church, at another level it could be Israel, but at the most basic level it's Mary. And to answer the question about where in Scripture is the assumption of Mary, you don't even have to do it. You just post Revelation 12 verses 1 through, what, about 5 or 6.
Oh, I see. Yeah, just give the verse.
You don't have to explain anything.
Right.
Just give them the verse. And then what will happen, because what you're trying to do as the Catholic, you're trying to bring these people along in a conversation, okay? And you want that conversation to go somewhere. And every conversation I get into online or via email or person to person, the place I'm trying to go is the question of authority. I want to get to the place. I mean, so my conversations, my dialogues with people, it's not just, okay, you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. I'll ask you a question, you give me an answer. I've got a place I'm wanting to get to. And that place is authority, because it comes down to the basic question: who has the authority to decide what is authentic Christian teaching, practice, and belief, and what is not authentic Christian teaching, practice, and belief? Is it each individual reading the Bible on their own, interpreting it for themselves? Or is it the church founded by Jesus Christ and guided by the Holy Spirit? That's the question you want to get to in every conversation.
That is so helpful, John, that you have a direction you want this to go. You're not just kind of floundering around seeing if you can give convincing responses to this or that, because there is a fundamental basic question. Because if the church is right that she's been given the authority by Christ to teach, then all the rest of it is a matter of, if you can become convinced of that, the rest of it is fine. Then, okay, then what does she teach?
Yes. And that's how it was for me. When I was out of the church for 12, 13 years, and I started my journey back, I was like, okay, who's this guy over in Rome, this old guy trying to tell me how to live my life? And I start researching church teaching on the Pope and reading Scripture. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess the church kind of got that one right. And then, well, what about this stuff about abortion and contraception? So I start doing my research, and it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess the church got that one right, too, and that one right, and that. And after 4 or 5, the church got that right. It's like, okay, I give. It's just the church with over 2,000 years, with some of the smartest and holiest people who've ever lived versus me. I'm going to give it to the church.
So. I would too, John. If it's you against the church, I would give it to the church as well. 888-318.
You're a smart man, sorry.
Occasionally I have an insight, and that's one of them. 888-318-7884 is our number. You are welcome to get in on this conversation. You want to talk with John in a general way about how you go about evangelizing online, about how you could do better at evangelizing online, or do you have a specific question about the do's and don'ts of evangelizing online? 888-318-7884. We'll come back with more do's and don'ts and calls from you for John Martinoni right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
First of all, I'd like to tell you that this is the first time I've ever heard your program. It's actually the first time I've ever heard EWTN radio. I watch it on television all the time. But something told me today to turn this on, and I found you.
Sure.
I will tune in again.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, today's the final day of our $10 book sale. More than 40 books, bestsellers, new releases, and more are just 10 bucks each. Visit shop.catholic.com. Check it out today. It ends at midnight Honolulu time, so you've still got time, especially if you live in Honolulu, because you'll probably be up at that hour. Visit shop.catholic.com. Get your choice of more than 40 books for $10 each. Shop.catholic.com. John Martinoni, the founder of the Bible Christian Society, is our guest, talking about the do's and don'ts of online evangelization. Maybe there are particular questions that you get into conversations with people about online. Maybe something like sola scriptura, or John mentioned the Assumption of Mary, or maybe there are other doctrinal questions, and you're like, well, what would be the do's and don'ts of handling this one about this topic or that topic? Maybe confessing to a priest, something like that. If you have do's and don'ts questions about how to effectively evangelize online, John Martinoni is our guest, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Give us a couple more rules, John.
Well, another rule would be you don't have to explain everything just right out of the gate. Okay, I have seen conversations. I've had people send me their conversations, email conversations with say an evangelical or a Baptist, some Protestant denomination, and they'll say, can you take a look at this conversation and tell me if I'm doing things right or wrong? And I'll look, and the Protestant will have something that's, you know, maybe it's like a one paragraph that they've written, three or four sentences, and the Catholic response will be four pages long. And they're explaining everything. They start off with, say, the Assumption, but then they go to sola scriptura, sola fide, once saved, always saved. They get into the Eucharist. They get in the sacraments. It's like, okay, the conversation was about the Assumption. What are you doing here? You're going all over. There is no way, number one, for the Protestant to give a coherent response to that, thesis, or that full thesis from the Catholic. But number two, it allows the Protestant, the more you as a Catholic talk, the more opportunity it gives the Protestant to derail the conversation by going off into any number of rabbit trails. You know, because if you're really trying to make a good point about, well, let's say the Eucharist, and you bring up something about the Bible, sola scriptura, well, now they can go, well, but the classical sola scriptura definition of the reformers is this, and this is it. And they go, and you're into sola scriptura, you're not talking about the Eucharist. And it just, again, it derails the conversation, because you should have a goal in mind, like I said a few minutes ago, of where you want this conversation to get to. There's an end point you should have in your mind. I want to get there. And if you're talking about the Eucharist, you stay on the Eucharist and just keep. And if they try to go off, you bring it back to the Eucharist. You just ignore anything that's, you know, on the edges of that conversation. You stick with the mainstream of the conversation, because again, you make a point about the Eucharist, and you're trying to get to, well, I'm going to get them with John 6:51, You know, and well, all of a sudden you're talking about once saved, always saved, or something else. And it might be days before you come back to John 6:51, if ever you get back there. So you get nowhere fast.
888-318-7884. I think this is related to your next point as well, which I have the list in front of me about not overloading people with information.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I had, I'll never forget, this one young lady on Facebook. It was a Facebook conversation. This woman had asked a question, the Protestant woman had asked a question about something, and the Catholic reply was about, well, you know, again, watch a video, and hey, after the video, you ought to read these church fathers and name several church fathers, and then said, oh, by the way, there's some very good sacred music from the early centuries of Christianity. Here, you can go here and listen to this, some of this sacred music, and it'll get you this. And like, and she threw in a papal encyclical or two, and I'm like, wow, how is this person gonna read all of this stuff, listen to sacred music from the 5th century or 8th century, whatever it was? Really? You know, no, she asked about this one topic. Answer the question. Because again, when you first answer a question and it's a direct, succinct answer, what have you done? You've started a pattern. You've laid down a pattern for the conversation.
Yeah.
And so then you ask a question, and if they give you some scattershot answer, you say, hey, wait a minute. You asked me a question, I gave you just a straightforward, simple, direct response. Could you do the same for my question? And then you ask the question again. Because if you start getting the shotgun responses, again, conversation is not going to develop. Mm-hmm. You might as well just hang it up right then and there and say, well, you know, it looks like this isn't really going to go anywhere. Let's just say, hey, love you as a you know, child of God, but see ya. But if you establish the pattern, I give direct, simple answers. A lot of my questions that I ask, I put at the end of the question, I put ... yes or no.
Yeah, right.
Yes or no. Or I ask for a Bible passage. Can you give me a Bible passage that says, and I'll put in quotes, what they just said.
Yeah.
And that's it. Don't just drown them with information. Just don't do it.
All right, let's go. There's a bunch more of these wonderful do's and don'ts from John Martinoni on online evangelization, but I do want to let some of our callers talk to John. Don't want to take up all their time. So let's go to our good friend. I believe it's our good friend Ava in Ontario, Canada, watching on YouTube. Ava, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
We're happy to have you back, Ava.
Thank you. I was wondering, what would a precise short response be to the claim that indulgences are not found in the Bible, especially if this person did not accept Maccabees as scripture?
Okay. What I would do, number one, is say, well, yeah, the word indulgences, just like the word Trinity, just like the word incarnation, just like the phrase altar call or Wednesday night church meeting, not found directly in the Bible. However, there's a passage from, is it Colossians? My brain is short circuiting right now. But Paul talked, Colossians 1, verse 24. And the church's teaching on indulgences is connected very closely to the church's teachings on the communion of saints. And so I go to Colossians 1:24, and I quote it to him, Paul talking, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." So it's one person in the body of Christ suffering for other people in the body of Christ, and the other people in the body of Christ gain a benefit from that person's suffering. Well, that's in essence the foundation of what an indulgence is. It's the treasury of merit of Jesus Christ and the saints that Jesus Christ has worked in and through. And it's that treasury of merit that has accumulated that other people can then take advantage of for their own particular situation, to have their sufferings or the payment due to their sins released because of the sufferings, the indulgences, the sufferings, the prayers, the offering of alms and so forth that others have done. And then, of course, first and foremost, Christ's sufferings on the cross.
I'll tell you what, Ava, you can probably hear the music, but I'd like to come back to you real quick. If you hang around, if you're able to hang around for a couple minutes while we do these messages, I'd like to come back to you and hear your response to what John Martinoni said to your question about where can we find indulgences in the Bible. More Catholic Answers coming right up. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, talking St. John Paul the Great and Soulful Psalm 21.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. John Martinoni is our guest. We're talking about the do's and don'ts of online evangelization. On the line are from Canada, our friend Ava, who asked about how to explain using the Bible indulgences. And Ava, were you satisfied with the answer you got from John Martinoni?
Yes, thank you. I think it was a very clear answer. Thank you very much. I'm wondering, since Protestants often view indulgences as the church just stealing money from people, do you think that you could point somehow how it's more about receiving graces and not about getting people's money?
Well, what you can tell people is if they say, well, you know, the church invented indulgences just to make money. You can say, number one, nowhere, always ask for a source. Give me a historical source. Not a source of, hey, it was your Baptist minister that told you this or something like that. I want a historical source. I want a Catholic document where the church says we're now going to have indulgences and you can sell them to gain money. And you, when you buy these indulgences, for $100, you get a partial indulgence. For $500, you get, or francs or Deutschmarks or whatever, you get a plenary indulgence. Just ask them, say, can you give me any document of the Catholic Church that officially teaches that you can sell indulgences? It's an abuse of what the church teaches. And ask them, say, do you know of Christian teachings that are abused by some people? No, of course you do. Say, well, this is an abuse of one of our teachings. We have never said you can sell indulgences to get money. Ever, nowhere, nowhere. Just, and so that's where you put the onus on them. Give me a magisterial document. That's one of the official documents of the church that says it's okay to sell indulgences. And tell them, say, no, an indulgence is something that you receive from the treasury of the church. And for Protestants, if you just tell them, say, it's based on the sufferings of Christ during his passion and cross, and through those sufferings, through the treasury of merit that is in the church from Christ and his saints, our penalty due to our sins is relieved, either partially or fully, depending on whether it's a partial indulgence or plenary indulgence. But just focus on the fact that Christ's sufferings is the foundation of the teachings on indulgences. And again, nowhere has it ever been taught that it's okay to sell indulgences.
Ava, thank you. It's not just us. I think our listeners love it when you call as well. So I hope we'll hear from you many, many more times. I'm going to keep going and let John Martinoni answer more questions. It's the do's and don'ts of online evangelizing. We're going down to Mexico now. Maureen is in Mexico, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. Maureen, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for John.
Hi, John. I am a retired person, and I am online frequently. I have, and that it was intentionally built, over 15,000 contacts on LinkedIn, and I'm on Reddit. And because I was a psychologist, that's the type of connections that I get. And I am on both the Catholic and the feeds on Reddit. And what I find is on the Catholicism one, people are hypercritical of the Catholic Church. And on LinkedIn, they go a little bit berserk on wrong information. Case in point, the recent stuff in Canada with the schools. So my approach has been to address the fallacy in thinking that is underlying their lack of a moral position in what they're saying. And because of my background, I also look to see where their comments, where in their heart do I need to, have my comments touch. I frequently get very interesting feedback. I had a couple of very angry Jewish men on LinkedIn who got pretty upset with me because of what I said, and I always responded kindly to where they would message me privately and say, I think you're completely wrong, but you handled that beautifully, because I was non-confrontational. It's very matter of fact.
Maureen, that sounds wonderful, and I'm very impressed. Did you want to ask a question of John, or did you just want him to comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, it was too long of an intro. But how can, would John recommend, what do I do different so that I can tailor it more to evangelizing for Catholicism?
Okay, well, with your background, you're obviously used to asking people questions. Okay, so what I try to teach people in my apologetic seminars that I do is don't talk so much, ask questions. Just like, you know, if talking to a psychologist is the same as what I see on TV, where the person talks and the psychologist says, okay, well, have you ever thought about this? And then the other person talks for a while. That's the same. Again, that's worked very well for me as a Catholic apologist. Let them talk. Look for the contradictions in what they're saying, because I guarantee you, you ask a question, if you get an answer, you respond to their answer with another question. If you ask the right questions, with just two questions, you can have them contradicting themselves. And now the point is not to get them to contradict themselves and say, aha, look what you just did. The point is to get them to maybe see that, hey, there are contradictions in my theology. And that's not, you know, God's not a God of contradiction. So what's going on here? I need to examine what I believe a little bit more deeply, maybe. You know, obviously, that's the best response. This response is you were talking about from the two Jewish gentlemen that were angry. Don't get upset by people getting angry with you, which you didn't, but look at it as, okay, why are they angry? Because you're saying something it's pinging something deep down inside them. You know, God wrote the truth on all of our hearts. And when the truth is spoken and we know it, but we don't like it and we want to deny it, what do? A lot of times we get angry. So what I would suggest is if you're, and you may not be doing this, but if you're talking a lot to people and you're using a lot of your own words with Protestants instead of using the Bible's words, then that's where you could be getting maybe not necessarily off track, but not being as effective as you possibly could be. Because if I'm a Protestant, you know, Maureen, I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what Vatican II says or this papal encyclical. I want to know what the Bible says. So you need to learn maybe some verses in Scripture that you can ask people about for given topics. You know, baptism. Well, I'm going to ask him about John 3, verses 3 through 5, where it says, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, born again with water and the Spirit, that's baptism. So you just throw it out there and say, what does this mean? Isn't Jesus saying that it's necessary to be baptized to enter the kingdom of heaven? And then you're quiet and let them explain. And you start watching and listening and reading people's explanations of Scripture. And all you have to come back is, well, that's what you're saying. That's your interpretation of Scripture. That's not what the Bible actually says. And again, you're not trying to win the argument. You're not trying to make somebody look bad. You're just trying to plant a seed. So take it as, I'm trying to plant a seed, and I'm going to do that by asking questions. And the more scripturally based questions I can ask, the better. Does that make sense?
Sounds like I'm on the right track then. Okay, thank you, John.
Good.
Wonderful,
You're
Maureen.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, before we take a break, I'll just mention John's books, Blue Collar Apologetics and A Blue Collar Answer to Protestantism, both with blue covers. You'll be shocked to see. But Blue Collar Apologetics and A Blue Collar Answer to Protestantism, you can find them wherever you get your good Catholic books. Right back with more questions for John Martinoni right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2015. EWTN opens its West Coast studio on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Orange, California, enabling EWTN to produce new programming that will bring the people and the stories of the faith that make up the church in Southern California to our global audience.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? And that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. John Martinoni is our guest. Bible Christian Society. You just type in the Bible Christian Society into your computer. It'll take you there to the Bible Christian Society, where you can learn so many things, videos and things to read and all kinds of great stuff for you there. You can get on the email list. Hey, right now is probably the time of year where you're thinking about, you know what I need? I need a 2025 calendar. And if you do, we did a really cool thing. I didn't do it, but a really cool thing was done. Let me put it that way, here at Catholic Answers this year. We did our usual annual sacred art calendar, but all of it is from living artists. None of it is from a deceased artist. So you can get to know the artworks of wonderful, beautiful Christian artists. Each month, a new painting for you to check out. It's the Sacred Art for the Modern Age calendar for 2025, and it's easy to get. You just go to Catholic.com. Just go to Catholic.com, and somewhere on there it'll pop up. You probably don't have to do anything. It'll probably just pop up, Sacred Art. And for those of you who are watching online, there it is with the painting of Jesus right on the cover. But I think it's just a great idea. You know, it's easy to go into the files and dig out more Caravaggios, but we thought here's a year where we can support and introduce people to artists who are doing wonderful sacred art today, people who are still alive. So check it out at Catholic.com and get your 2025 calendar there. Put it on the refrigerator and just clip it in right behind the old one, and then take the old one off on December 31st, and you're ready to go, 2025. John Martinoni is our guest. We're talking about the do's and don'ts of online evangelization. And Betty is in St. Peter's, Missouri. Glad you're here, Betty. Go ahead with your question for John.
Hi. I've been listening to Catholic Answers for about 25 years. I've read all kinds of apologetics books, and I get on Facebook a lot, and I have these discussions with Protestants. It just seems like when I'm quoting scripture passages that refute whatever they're saying, the conversation just drops.
And
I don't want to go after them and say, hey, what'd you think about that? I don't feel like I'm stalking them or anything, but how can I keep the conversation going?
Betty, thank you. Great question. John?
Well, what I do is I'll just, if I don't get an answer immediately, and that happens to me a lot too, but I'm just, so you're not out there by yourself in that situation. You answer with a scripture verse that responds to their question. And the scripture verse shows that, hey, what they believe, if they're reading that verse from scripture, then, well, wait a minute. Maybe what they believe isn't quite right based on this passage of scripture. So I'm just going to not talk to you anymore. Or I might call you a bunch of names and switch the topic and go off on some other tangent or something. But if they just stop talking to you, give them a day or two and say, come back, just post again, you know, respond to them so that, you know, particularly on Facebook, so that their name is there and they'll get a notification that you responded to them and say, hey, did you have an answer for this? I'm really curious what your opinion is. And ask people for their opinion. Say, I want to know how you read this particular verse of scripture. What does it mean to you? Or anything along those lines, to where I am really, really curious about your take on this passage of scripture. And if they don't come back to you, well, usually on Facebook, you have an audience. Might be one person, two or three that are involved in that same thread, maybe 15, 20. But I always tell people, I said, try asking the question three times. And if after the third time, no response, then just say, okay, well, it was fun while it lasted. Enjoyed the conversation to the point it got. Ciao. And move on. You know, dust the dirt from your sandals. Shake the dirt from your sandals. But you can't. But what you need to understand that when somebody doesn't answer you, a lot of times it's because they can't. So either they can't answer you or they refuse to answer you. Either way, you may have planted a seed. And that's what you need to understand, Betty, is that you're not there to convert anybody. You're there to plant seeds. And you may have well accomplished what you were trying to do, and so you should feel good about it as opposed to thinking, ah, am I wasting my time or what's going on here? Nuh-uh. No. Your job is to throw those seeds out there. Excuse me. Throw those seeds out there so that the Holy Spirit can water them, nurture them, and hopefully produce good fruit from them.
Does that make sense, Betty? Nope. Betty, you know what? I'm on the wrong line. I apologize, Betty. Did that make sense to you, Betty?
These widows go into mediums and stuff to try to talk to their dead husbands. And I don't know how to approach that other than posting it three times. Mediums will tell you what they think you want to hear. You know, they're frauds.
Well, if these women that are going to these mediums are Christian, it's a passage in Numbers, I think Numbers chapter 18, 19, somewhere in there, where it specifically prohibits speaking to mediums. So if they're Christian, going to church and still going to a medium, find that passage and you can do it. You can go to BibleGateway.com and just type in medium and it'll pull up the verse from the Old Testament that tells you where it says mediums are forbidden for believers in God to consult.
The Leviticus. I looked it up while
you
were talking.
Leviticus?
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them.
I got the chapter right if I didn't get the book right.
Betty, thank you very, very much. I do hope that was helpful to you. God bless you in your evangelizing efforts. It is wonderful to hear from so many people who are giving it a try, who are not just sitting back, but are trying to share the good news and invite people into the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church. Joseph's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. You are up next, Joseph. Go ahead with your question for John Martinoni.
Hey, guys. Well, I've had this idea swirling in my head for a while, but haven't been able to really do anything with it because I haven't been without a vehicle. So anyway, I was thinking about starting a Christian DJ service. But in order for a DJ to get any work, you know, they have to make themselves known somehow. And I figured the only way I could do that was, you know, start a YouTube channel. But I have no idea. I don't know anything about YouTube or being a DJ. So I got a lot of work cut out for me, I guess. But I figure if the Holy Spirit is really inspiring me to do this, and it's not just something in my head. I was telling my friends this, that God, the Holy Spirit, will, you know, start opening doors for me.
Sure.
If this is what I was really meant to do.
Well, I mean, if I may just ask before, and I'm going to turn this over to John, but do you have a spiritual director who can help you discern that? Because that is an important part of discerning the will of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't. I would like to get one.
Okay.
And
yeah, because it sounds like you are in a process of discernment. That's what you described, when you have a strong sense that the Holy Spirit is urging you in a direction. And you want to verify that, it's a process of discernment, and there are people who can help you with that. But John, did you have anything for Joseph?
Well, what I would say, Joseph, is I'm basically in the exact same, well, not exact same, but same boat in the sense that I'm working on starting a podcast. Well, I don't know anything about starting podcasts and getting a camera and, well, what platforms to put it on and how do you get it on those platforms and how do you set the whole thing up and some of the things that I want to do with my podcast or like, well, how do I do that? I have learned a long time ago, you let professionals do what professionals do. So what you might want to do, again, as Cy said, talk to a priest, see if you can find a spiritual director to talk to about this, number one. But if you're thinking, okay, you're going ahead, you know, either after talking to a priest or before or during, whatever, maybe put an ad in a bulletin. Ask your parish, because Ann Arbor, a lot of good, solid Catholics up around in the Ann Arbor area, especially, you know, you might want to call Ave Maria Radio and say, hey, can you guys turn me on to somebody who knows about YouTube and how to get going on here? Or again, like I said, an announcement in your bulletin. This is what I'm trying to do. Is there anybody here who can help me? You know, give me a call and give them your information. But just get out there and start asking good, solid Catholics who has experience in this area. Can I just take you to lunch and pick your brain on this? I need to, you know, step one, step two, step three, etc., and go from there.
Yeah. And, you know, I realize that music is a very powerful medium, but, you know, I've always hated my speaking voice, and to listen to me, somebody would probably think, "Oh, he sounds like Homer Simpson. What's he got?" And I have been able to pull off.
I think you're kind of hard on yourself, Joseph. You don't sound like Homer Simpson. I think you might be exaggerating.
I have been able to pull off some Alice Cooper tunes, Jim Morrison, you know, those deeper sounding tones.
All right.
Because I have participated in karaoke, and I guess that's what I want to do is like kind of start a karaoke kind of thing going where other people can join in.
Oh, Joseph. I thought of something too while you were talking. First of all, people have been listening to Homer Simpson for like 40 years now. So
it would be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think that would be so bad if that was the case. But what a beautiful spirit you have responding to God's call. I hope you will seek the help of a spiritual director because in discerning, it can be very, very helpful. But I'd also like to send you a couple books if you'd like them. I'll send you Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. And how about Why We're Catholic, Trent Horn's super popular book, Why We're Catholic, because you're trying to reach people. And these are books that give you the basic kind of answers that many people will be seeking, Joseph. So thank you very much for the call. All you have to do is hang on the line and Thomas will get an address and we'll send you those two books. And God bless you in your endeavors. John Martinoni, our guest. Give us one more, John, before we go. One more do or don't about online evangelization.
One thing very important. Reread what you're about to post or send before you post it or send it.
Oh, boy, is that right. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just, okay, minor grammar errors or something like that. Those two. But did you get your scripture verse right? I have seen Catholics send things and they quote a verse. Well, that's not the verse they meant to quote. And so what happens on the other side? The Protestant goes, Catholics don't know their Bible. You know, dadgum Catholics. But also, if they ask you a question and you're giving them a response, read their question over again and then read your response before you send it and think, if I was asking the question and somebody gave me this response, would I know what the heck they were talking about? Would the response make sense? Is it commonsensical? Is it logical? Does it flow properly? Or is it herky-jerky? You got to make it to where it's a good read and it gives a succinct answer to their question. Answer the question directly. Do that, and you're ahead of the game.
Check out the Bible Christian Society if you want to know more about John Martinoni and his work, the Bible Christian Society. Blue Collar Apologetics is one of his books. A Blue Collar Answer to Protestantism is another. Find them wherever you get good Catholic books. John Martinoni, it's always a great pleasure. Thanks for being with us for now.
It is always a joy to be here with you, Si.
All right, Tim Staples coming up next hour. We'll do Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples right after this on Catholic Answers Live.